জয় রাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি জয় রাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি গোপী জনবার জয় গোপী জনবার রানন্দন জগ জন রঞ্জন রসরানন্দন জগ জন রঞ্জন রামন পিরামন রামন পিরামন রাম কুঞ্জবিহারি জয় রাধা মরব কুঞ্জবিহারি জয় রাধা মরব কুঞ্জবিহারি
Paramahansa Mridhikacharya Ashtotho Tata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jaya Vishnubhava Paramahansa Mridhikacharya Ashtotho Tata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. I can't see the number there. What's the number? The number of the verse? What's the number of the verse? Thank you. Narayana namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashtapayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service unto the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय On this 30th day of April 2012 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form, Text 13. Now, can I just read through the synonyms? You can read along, and then we'll read the verse, okay? Okay. Asan, we're assumed, Varnaha, Trayaha, three colors. He, indeed, Asya, of your son, Krishna. Grimnataha, accepting, Anuyugam, Tanuhu. Transcendental bodies according to the different yugas. Shuklaha, sometimes white. Raktaha, sometimes red. Tatha, as well as. Pitaha, sometimes yellow. Idanim, Krishnatam, Kataha. At the present moment, he has assumed a blackish color.
Asanvarnastrayo yasya.
Grimnato nuyugantanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugantanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugantanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam. Ladies? Asanvarnastrayo yasya. Grimnato nuyugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tatha pita. Idanim krishnatam kataha. Translation. So this is Garga Muni speaking to Nanda Maharaj. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramchandra in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. But before we read the purport, I don't think this was mentioned. At least I don't remember it in my brain. This is the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi, consort of Ram. Yeah. It's also the appearance day of Srimadha Pandit, associate of Lord Chaitanya. And the disappearance day of Srimati Janava Devi, Lord Nityananda's consort. So we will read a little bit about them later. Okay. Purport. Partially explaining the position of Lord Krishna and partially covering the facts, Garga Muni indicated,
Your son is a great personality, and he can change the color of his body in different ages. The word Grihnataha indicates that Krishna is free to make his choice. In other words, he is the supreme personality of Godhead and may therefore do whatever he desires. In the Vedic literature, the different colors assumed by the personality of Godhead in different millenniums are stated. And therefore, when Gargamuni said, "Your son has assumed these colors," he indirectly said, "He is the supreme personality of Godhead." Because of Kamsa's atrocities, Gargamuni tried to avoid disclosing this fact, but he indirectly informed Nanda Maharaj that Krishna, his son, was the supreme personality of Godhead. It may be noted that Srila Jiva Goswami, in his book Krama Sandarbha, has enunciated the purport of this verse. In every millennium, Krishna appears in a different form, either as white, red, or yellow. But this time, he personally appeared in his original blackish form, and as predicted by Gargamuni, exhibited the power of Narayan. Because in this form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibits himself fully, his name is Sri Krishna, the All-Attractive. Factually, Krishna is the source of all avatars, and therefore all the different features of the different avatars are present in Krishna. When Krishna incarnates, all the features of other incarnations are already present within him. Other incarnations are partial representations of Krishna, who is the full-fledged incarnation of the Supreme Being. It is to be understood that the Supreme Being, whether appearing as Shukla, Rakta, or Pitta, white, red, or yellow, is the same person. When he appears in different incarnations, he appears in different colors, just like the sunshine, which contains seven colors. Sometimes the colors of sunshine are represented separately. Otherwise, the sunshine is observed mainly as bright light. The different avatars, such as the Manvantara avatars, Leela avatars, and Dasha avatars, are all included in the Krishna avatar. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear with him, as described in Bhagavatam 1.3.26, Avatara yasankeya hari sattva nidheya dvijaha yata vidhasina kulya sarasa syu sahasrasaha. The avatars incessantly appear like incessantly flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in flowing water. And similarly, there is no limitation to the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars because he is the source of all avatars. Krishna is Angshi, whereas others are Angsha, part of Krishna. All living entities, including us, are Angshas, Mamai Vangsho, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. These Angshas are of different magnitude. Human beings, who are minute Angshas, and the demigods, Vishnu Tattva, and all other living beings, are all part of the Supreme. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. This is Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Krishna is the full representation of all living entities. And when Krishna is present, all avatars are included in him. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the incarnations for each yuga in chronological order. The Bhagavatam says, Krite Shuklash Chatur Bahu Tvetayam Rakta Varno Sau Dvapare Bhagavan Shyama and Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna. We actually see that in the Kali Yuga, Bhagavan has appeared in Pita Varna or yellow color as Gaurasundar, although the Bhagavatam speaks of Krishna Varnam. To adjust all these statements, one should understand that although in some yugas some of the colors are prominent, in every yuga, whenever Krishna appears, all the colors are present. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna or a blackish color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. Idanim Krishna Tam Gataha. The same original Krishna who appears in different varnas has now appeared. The word asan indicates that he is always present. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in his full feature, he is understood to be Krishna Varnam, although he appears in different colors. Balad Maharaj states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa, that is, although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Thus, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the conclusion that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in pita color, that's yellow, he is Krishna. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayar Ijantihi Sumedasaha. Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unvilatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So now, Garga Muni is continuing to describe Krishna to Nanda Maharaj, and he's doing so in such a way that although he's revealing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in another sense he's not revealing it. And therefore Nanda Maharaj can continue to understand that he may have a very great son, very powerful, very wonderful, but he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's clear from the commentators and that he's revealing the different ways in which Krishna appears, specifically different colors here that he takes. So, Srila Prabhupada goes through and he describes that Krishna appears in different forms and different colors, and he manifests a certain percentage of his full opulences in these different avatars. Today is the appearance day of Sita Devi, consort of Ram. So Lord Ramchandra, he did not manifest all of Krishna's six opulences in full. Much more than Krishna did, although Krishna also appeared like a human being in many ways. But Ram really manifested that aspect of a human being. He had that whole period of lamenting for Sita Devi. He seemed helpless. He didn't know where she was. He had to rely on the monkeys to tell him and to search and finally go. And so he took that role of a human being even more clearly than Krishna did. And but he still was very attractive. You know, the beauty was stunning. We know the story when he went into the forest and the sages there in Dandakaranya, they begged him, they wanted to engage in a similar relationship with him as Sita Devi had. But he said, no, in this avatar, I have only one wife. You'll have to take birth as the gopis, have some gopis in my next incarnation, and then you can take part in the Rasa dance and have that relationship, which they did. So, what to speak of other avatars? Prabhupada mentions the Leela avatars here. So, we have Matsya avatar, we have Lord Nrisimha Dev, we have Varaha and Kurma, and they manifest part of Krishna's power. They are Krishna. That's one of the points of this purport, is that truly all of the different avatars who are Vishnu Tattva are Krishna himself. But he has this power, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to expand in a plenary expansions as well as partial expansions. Plenary means full. So Nrisimha Dev is a full incarnation of Krishna. But he doesn't manifest all the wonderful qualities of Krishna, especially those last four. You study the Nectar of Devotion or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll hear about the divisions of Krishna's qualities. They're divided into 50, and then 5, 5, and 4, making a total of 64 qualities. Of course, his qualities are infinite, but these are the ones that the acharyas have given us a focus on. And those first 50 qualities, we can also possess. Ayaneta sadanyanga sarvasa lakshananvata ruchidas tejasa yukto baliyambaya sanvata. These are the first verse describing. So, ruchidas means attractiveness or charm, beauty. So, human beings can also possess that in minute degree, at least for a short time, right? And as age takes its toll, this is drawn away, you know, we don't manifest as much, or sometimes it's just the opposite. But there's something there. There's a reflection. There's a little unksha of Krishna's quality. Tejasa, which has several meanings, effulgence or influence. It's like we have this term charisma. There's charisma, natural leadership, influence. That's tejas. Krishna has this powerful tejas. So we can have that to a minute degree. Up to the first 50. And then the next 5, human beings can't have, but gods like Shiva can manifest. Ata pancha guna angshena girisharasu sada surupa sampratak sarva gyo nitya nutana satchidananda sandranga sarva siddhi nishevata. So even here it says these gods can only manifest the anksha. And it's interesting that it meant sarvagya is mentioned there, means partial omniscience. It's kind of this is perfect, more perfect and most perfect. You know, the English language kind of fails in describing these things. It's, omniscient means you know everything, but he has partial omniscience. So, sada sarupa, always in his sarup, always in his constitutional position, Lord Shiva. He's never in maya. You know, although for Leela he sometimes gets bewildered by Mohini Murti, but he's always situated. And he has all these siddhis, he's omniscient. Satchidananda Sandranga, his body is concentrated Satchidananda, like that. Then there's 5 others. Now this is also manifested by all these avatars. They're also manifesting, they're certainly omniscient. You know, they certainly never bewildered, they're in their constitutional position. Then there's 5 more that even Shiva doesn't manifest. There's Mahavishnu. Let's think of Mahavishnu. All the universes emanating. Lakshmi possessing all of these inconceivable powers. The seed of all the universes. Whoever gets killed by them gets liberation. You see? Brahmandabir, Avatalavadi, Bijam, the source of it, like that. And then there's 4 that only Krishna manifests. None of the other avatars. Even he mentions these previous colors. They don't. And so he's surrounded by devotees at the highest levels of prema, the gopis. Right? What is that? Sarva Buddha Chimadkara Leela Kala Lavaradi. He's an ocean full of all attractive Leela in endless waves. Atulya Madhava Prema Mandita Priya Mandala. He's surrounded by the gopis who are in this Madhava Prema. He's always the other avatars don't manifest that. Only Krishna has the flute. Trijagunmana Sarkashi Mudalika Lakujataha. He's playing very delightfully, attracting everyone in the universe. And Asamanodva Rupa Shri Vismapada Charachara. Unequal and unpassed beauty and opulence. So these 4 are unique to Krishna. And in these other avatars, they don't manifest. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He manifested those in his own way. He also was all attractive and just like Krishna. But he took the role of a devotee of Krishna. We know that. So this is the science of avatar. Now we should appreciate, here it mentions that these avatars are unlimited. Just like the flowing water is commonly called, like the waves in the ocean or the waves in a river. No one can count. So what we're hearing is just the leading avatars, clearly. The avatars mention the Leela avatars, the Manvantara avatars, who are associated with the Manu. The Manus and the Manvantara avatars are not the same. But in each Manvantara, there's a Manu, and there's also an incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, who's known as the Manvantara avatar. And they assist in the management of the universe. And then, of course, you have the Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Yuga avatars. So there's all of these different kinds of avatars. They're explained nicely in teachings to Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they're constantly appearing. Now, why are they coming? This is the question. This is where we could express or understand the mercy of the Lord. Avatar literally means to descend. The Lord descends. Now, he descends in many different ways. The Archabhigna has a kind of avatar also, as is the name, non-avatar. So these are descents, and the wonderful thing about the Archabhigna avatar or the non-avatar is that they're always available, and especially the holy name, is that we can always access. Where these other avatars come and go, they have a schedule, and they come and then they disappear. So Krishna is coming to this world in various forms to provide us access so that we can hear about him through books like Bhagavatam, or directly experience, as we do with the Archa Avatar, or with the holy name. So it's out of Krishna's compassion that he makes himself accessible. He comes to this dark world. What business does he really have? You know, he's always engaged in his transcendental nectarian sweet leela in Goloka Vrindavan. He has all these Vaikuntha planets. He's being worshipped nicely there, you know. But because he's compassionate to the fallen souls, ourselves, who are in this dark universe, that we need to have an intervention. You know, when someone is under the control of drugs or liquor or something, then it's often impossible for them to do anything themselves. They're just too much controlled. So somebody who likes them or loves them or is compassionate has to intervene in their life in order to somehow shake it up and affect them and try to pull them out of this thrall, the control of this dark force. So Krishna is like that. We need an intervention. Without an intervention, we have no hope. We have no hope of getting out of this darkness, because we don't even know that we're controlled. Without the presence of the incarnation, or the representative of the incarnation, the spiritual masters, sadhus, we're completely bewildered by the material energy. And we think that trying to succeed somehow in attaining some measure of happiness, security, you know, peace in this world is the goal of our life. But we're constantly being defeated. There's no possibility of that. So here, Krishna has come. This is the account, of course, of his most recent appearance as Krishna. Ete changsa kalapangsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. All of these other avatars mentioned in the first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam is explained. This is the Paribhasa Sutra verse according to Jiva Goswami. Basically, everything keys on the understanding Krishna is God, although the word God is not really strong enough. So Prabhupada gave us the supreme personality of Godhead, right? Indicating there are other personalities of Godhead. That's the whole point here. There are many personalities of Godhead. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And all these other ones, they appear when there is some difficulty. They appear in order to relieve their devotees. The devotees always pray. If you read the Bhagavatam and you see how these different Leela avatars appear, they're appearing in order to protect their devotees, annihilate the miscreants, reestablish religion, isn't it? Save the earth, right? Well, the Sringadeva certainly came to save his devotee. Varaha came to save the earth. Matsi came to save the Vedas, which were essential for human society. And they're all coming for that reason. Now, Krishna comes for that reason, but that's kind of a secondary reason. He comes for the special reason of anugrahaya bhaktana manasam deham astitaham. Bhadate tadrashi kridari ashutna tatparobhaved. He's coming for the enlivenment of his devotees, enacting, you know, once in the day of Brahma. It's been a long time, 8 billion years since he came last, right? Because the whole day and then the whole night of Brahma. Then he comes in order to enact a replica of his pastimes in the Goloka Vrindavan that are going on eternally. So that we'll have something to hear about. It will be renewed in human society. And yashudvata parobhavet. And having heard, one should, must, you know, become dedicated to him and devoted to him. So we're very fortunate, I like to point that out, I did that last time, that Krishna just appeared yesterday. I mean, compared to these 8 billion years, what's a measly 5,000 years, you know? Of course, in our own little lifetime, it seems like a long time. But I've noticed as you get older, your perspective in time changes, you know? When you're a little kid, the time between 5 and 6, my God, that's 20% of my whole life. You know, that's like an infinity. That's why the kids are, I'm not 5, I'm 5 and a half. I'm 5 and three quarters. You know, they're measuring it. But then when you live like 60 years, 50 years, you know what 50 years is like. Right? You can remember. But you can remember, oh, well, 10 of those, that's when Lord Chaitanya appeared. You know, that's not inconceivable. You can think, oh, yeah, it's 10 of those all the way back. So, of course, that's still minute compared to these thousands and millions and billions of years that we talk about. So, but 5,000 years, okay, that's 100 times 50. I can figure that. You see what I'm saying? It's practically yesterday. Not to speak of Lord Chaitanya, it was just this morning. You know. So the point I'm making is we should feel very fortunate that we are so close to the appearance of Krishna. We can still go to Vrindavan and see his places. They're still extant, you know. And but to speak of Lord Chaitanya's Lila, I was just in Mayapur, all the places of his pastimes. So we want to take advantage of this birth, this you know, our own birth, so close to this Krishna avatar, as he comes, as he is, and just 5,000 years ago. So Prabhupada is going on and explaining that everything, I was just thinking this morning, thinking over this, you know, because I had read the class, that there's not, you know, the atheists think that God doesn't exist, and they have debates, right? And they write books about it, and why God definitely does not exist, right? But the devotees know that nothing exists but God. It's not a question if he exists or not. It's that there's nothing but God in existence. It's that everything is simply Krishna or his energies. In plenary expansions, they are Krishna, the Vishnu Tattva. And then there's the Jiva Tattva, the marginal energy, Tattastha Shakti. And then there's the Maya Shakti in all its divisions. But it's all Krishna's energy. When he speaks in the seventh chapter, these are my energies. These eight, earth, water, fire, or ether. So what is there in existence? Where can you point to where there isn't Krishna? Either as his energy, his expansions, or the super soul is all-pervading. So it's just a question of understanding and purifying the consciousness so we can see properly. We can see Krishna at every moment and see Krishna in our lives at every moment. This is an important understanding of our process. It's a question of purification. And knowing that if we don't see Krishna, that it's just because of illusion. It's just because our eyes are still covered by the curtain of Maya. Maya jibandikatchanam agyaroksha jamabhyam nalakshase mudadasha mato natadaroyata. That Queen Kunti prays in her second prayer that the foolish observer, I'm a foolish observer, I don't see Krishna everywhere, but he's there. He's inside and he's outside. She said in the previous verse, we know that theoretically, but to actually perceive him there, that for that we need to have the eyes anointed with the salve of love to see him everywhere. And that's what the Bhagavatam helps us do by hearing. So what sets Krishna apart? Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. This verse Prabhupada refers to here. That the Upanishads declare that all of us are eternal conscious beings. Even the living entities. I just, you know, when I come here, it's so wonderful. I have such an opportunity to see all this green, you know. Basically, I live in a desert, in San Diego. We have green there, but only if they keep stealing the Colorado River water. You know, practically never rains. You know, eventually they're going to dry up like it always is. And there's just not as much foliage, you know. So it's wonderful green everywhere, you know. And I was taking a job at work the other day, seeing this, you know, vast expanse, this field. And it suddenly hit me. Whoa, every single blade of grass there is another living entity. You know? How amazing that is that here are these living entities who are just like us, but they're covered over, they've taken this birth due to some sinful activity, and now they're working their way up through the plant kingdom, coming to eventually to the animal kingdom. You know? So, this is how we're meant to see, you know, that this world, although sometimes it seems pleasant, and, you know, other times it's not pleasant. It's really a place of, how do you say, purgatory or penance, or it's a reformatory. And there's so much suffering going on. And we've experienced it. By Krishna's grace, we've forgotten. And but now we have this chance. We've come in touch with this wonderful knowledge in the process of devotional service by which we can get out of this prison house of material energy. And understanding how and why Krishna comes, the different ways he comes, the different avatars, This is all part of what understanding Krishna means, the Sambandha Gyan. And appreciating, as I was saying before, his mercy in coming in just the right form, in just the way to enliven his devotees and provide us with lila to think about. You know, now we're coming up on Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance, and such an amazing pastime. I remember when I first read the pastime of Chitraketu and the whole thing with Vritrasa in the sixth canto, I immediately thought, oh, this would make a tremendous movie. You know, it's got everything. It's got drama. It's got battles. And it's got depression. It's got all the relationships, and finally success. And it's really wonderful. And it's true of all of these pastimes. Prahlad Maharaj, as we mentioned last night, was pointed out. What is it? 5 or 6 chapters in the seventh canto. That's a lot of time and words given over to Prahlad is very important. And Lord Nrisimhadev and the prayers and all these different things. So this is where our mind should be absorbed in appreciating the avatar of Krishna and how we've been given an opportunity to connect to this knowledge and to understand the glory, the wonder of Krishna and all of his avatars and the way in which he maintains and creates this world, and also the sweetness and the beauty and all attractiveness of Krishna. This is the special quality of Krishna and has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the highest form. The conjugal ras that hadn't been revealed for a long, long time. Anarpita chadim chadat karunayavati anakkalo. Certainly hadn't been revealed in the breadth and the expansion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed it. So we have a great opportunity and we should take full advantage of it. So we can have a couple of questions and then we're going to read a little bit about Madhu Pandit and the others. Yes, Madhuji? Do we have a mic? Maybe you can wait 1 second.
Hi, Krishna. Hello. Thank you for your class. I was wondering if you could elaborate on one of the last 4 qualities that Krishna possesses. I think you mentioned playing the flute.
Yeah.
How is that? I mean, we can play the flute. I'm sure there's more to it. I just wanted
there
to
is,
hear
There
it.
Is definitely more to yeah. it, yeah. So, that quality
you can elaborate.
That's okay. Trijagam manasakarshi mulalika lakujita. This is how it's expressed by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Samana Sindhu, which means mulalika lakujita. His charming playing of the flute, attractive playing of the flute, attracts the minds of everyone in the three worlds. So I played it, believe it or not, I used to play the flute. It didn't attract the minds of everyone in the three worlds. But the idea is that this is a unique quality that Krishna, you won't find Vishnu playing the flute or anything like that. So especially this flute sound, first of all, it's mentioned in the Vidagdha Madhava, that this flute sound is the source, you know, the original archetype of all music. All choral music, all instrumental music is coming through that flute sound. And the flute sound has the effect of attracting, especially the gopis, it says everyone in the universe, but it's just, you read about it especially how it was just, it attracts the living entity to come and to be with Krishna and to render the most intimate and surrendered and all-encompassing service to Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned, and this is mentioned by the acharyas, that in this material world, this flute sound is manifest as the Hare Krishna mantra. And this is why when you chant Hare Krishna seriously, and you hear, you get attracted to Krishna. Isn't it? Otherwise, why are we sitting here? So, yes, that this flute sound is very special. And there are many wonderful verses. I'll give you one that just came to mind. This is in the Vidagdha Madhava. You know, Lord Brahma, he's serious. He's got this very serious task to perform and duty, you know. He has to create the universe. And it's not easy. When you're reading the third canto, I think it's the third canto where he starts creating. And you know, there's several false starts. He wants to propagate the universe. He creates the Kumaras. They don't want to do it. He gets angry. Shiva comes. He creates the demons come. They attack him. He has to give up that body, start over again. It's a big problem. And he prays to Krishna for creative energy, you know, that he can do this right. So Brahma, he sometimes comes down to Vrindavan. He wants to see what's going on there. And there's this whole Leela in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto where he becomes bewildered by Krishna. So he's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita what the effect of the flute is on him. You know, he's a great personality. So it says that Ashta Bishutiputaka Navabhaina Vaka Kalin Kalayan Shatadita Mukto Mulava Prishte Muhur Lutati. I don't know if you know this one. It says Ashta Bish, so he has 8 ears. He has 4 heads, so 8 ears. So when that flute sound enters his 8 ears, Shutiputaka Navabhaina Vaka Kalin Kalayan. So this is the very warbling, attractive sound of Krishna's. It's newly invented music, Navavaina Bhakakalin Kalayam. So the Shatadriti, now Shatadriti indicates that at one point he performed 100 sacrifices. You know, so it's called Shatadriti. Abhidita Mukto, he was liberated or lost his driti, his composure, and started rolling around on the back of a swan. You can imagine. This is the effect on Lord Brahma. And on the gopis, very famous, they were forcibly attracted. Even, you know, this is a very, we don't usually think about this because we live in this, you know, Kali Yuga where, you know, people, ladies wander around anywhere, you know, it's just like there's no strictures. But it's very strict in the Vedic culture. You know, you're married or unmarried, you're either in the protection of your husband or your father. You don't go out in the middle of the night to meet a young, attractive boy you're not married to. So it's a big thing. They gave up their good name, these gopis. But they were absolutely determined. They even half-dressed, you know, they just had to run out to Krishna. This was the effect of that flute sound. Yeah, there's a lot of verses. So the point is, it is a very special sound, and only Krishna has it. Only he possesses that, because he possesses the all attractiveness in the ultimate degree. His beauty, his personality, everything about him makes him Krishna, all attractive. And that flute sound is kind of the reaching out and attracting us as well through the holy name. Yes, Prabhu.
Also, we also get this flute sound at the time that we take diksha.
That's right, that's right.
At that time, we also get this flute sound. I don't know why so
not discussing it here, but also... This is a very big thing. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's clearly mentioned here, Jagu Kalam Bhamadrisam Manoharam. So this is the sound that we receive at the time of taking diksha. So as Dravida Prabhu was mentioning, this sound is particularly meant to attract the soul, even from its difficult material condition, to attract it to the lotus feet of the seva of Radha Krishna and their associates. So out, like Dravida said, if we play the flute, we may express something in our heart. So you can imagine what's in the heart of Krishna. So if Krishna plays his flute, like jazz musicians, when they play flute, their sounds, they're expressing their inner feelings. And it comes out as improvisation. So you can imagine what is in the heart of Krishna. And that coming out, it's sometimes called Adha Amrit, that thing coming out in the form of sound, if it will touch anybody, you can imagine.
Yeah. What is that... Vivid Gopacha the Nation of Adagdas. Vivid Gopacha the Nation of Adagdas. Now I'm forgetting the Sanskrit. Anyway, this is part of the Gopi songs, the Yuga Geet in chapter 35. And it's described Krishna's playing the sound and the flute and all the great, you know, musicians, starting with Brahma and Narada, Tumbu, all of them, they can hear this. And they're expert in all these ragas, there's thousands of them, and you know, they created them. But they're bewildered about Krishna's flute sound. They can't figure it out. It's too amazing, you know. And so they have to bend their heads in shame. They can't do it. And here's one. This one I remember. In the Aishwarya Kadambini, this is by Balay Vidyabhushan. He has this one amazing verse. I remember that. It says... I can't remember the Sanskrit, but I need to remember. But what he's saying there is that when Krishna plays the flute, the sound flies into the sky like a multicolored bird. This is a great image. And it, even though the greatest sages, again describing Indra and Shiva and Brahma, hear this, they cannot understand it. When it has its effect even on apparently inanimate things in Vrindavan. The hills start, you know, they exchange their natures. Those things which are steady, like trees and hills, they start shivering in ecstasy. The Yamuna River becomes stunned and can't flow anymore, you know. And the gopis, they become obsessed, you know, with going out to meet Krishna. They get, I'm really sorry, I can't remember that Sanskrit, it's beautiful. But there are many, many verses like this. So this is part of the flute, you know, Krishna's special quality. Okay, Gangan Ryan, Prabhu? I have some time.
My question is really mundane compared to all this, but within Krishna, when Krishna appears, the Manvantara avatars, as well as so many different avatars appear, I always thought Manvantara avatars were living beings who were assume the post of Manvantaras.
No, there's some confusion about that. The Manus are Jivas, but the Manvantara avatars are Vishnu Tattva. If you can look in the eighth canon, it lists a lot of them, and you see so and so was the Manu, and Yajna appeared as the, you know, that gives as the avatar. Listen, I want to read a little bit about these great souls, and then I'm going to call on you, Pran, to tell us a little bit about the appearance of Sita. Okay, you know the story. I don't know it that well. Okay. Yeah, no, you can't do half an hour. You got to condense it into 5 minutes. All right, we're gonna start with where is this? Madhu Pandit. Hold on a second. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I know. Okay, Madhu Pandit. Radhanaba, Lord Krishna's great-grandson, installed, this is from Mahanidhi Maharaj's book, Samadhi's Great Souls. Radhanaba, Lord Krishna's great-grandson, installed the original Gopinath deity in Vrindavan over 5,000 years ago. About 500 years ago, Paramananda Bhattacharya discovered the deity in the earth at Vanshivat on the banks of the Yamuna. Madhu Pandit Goswami, a disciple of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, worshipped that Gopinath deity. The Bhakti Ratnakara says that Sri Gopinathji, who is an ocean of mercy, forever sports along the enchanting banks of the Yamuna at Vanshivat. His bodily luster steals the mind of whoever sees him. When the soothing sweetness of Gopinathji's charming form enters the heart, it immediately extinguishes the burning fire of material existence. Now the original Gopinath deity stays in Jaipur, Rajasthan. Madhu Pandit Goswami blessed Srinivas Acharya with Gopinath's garland before Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda took the bullock cart of Goswami's literatures from Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, Madhu Pandit serves as Mandali Sakhi in the group of Champalakata Sakhi, like that. And then we have Janava Mata. This is a Nityananda's consort. Sri Nityananda's two wives, Sri Vasudha and Sri Janava Devi, are expansions of Lord Balaram's eternal consorts Varuni and Revati. After the disappearance of the Panchatattva and many of Lord Chaitanya's eternal associates, a huge Sankirtan festival was held in Khetri on Gaur Purnim. This was organized by Narottam Das Thakur. Thousands of Lord Gauranga's followers, such as Narottam, Shyamananda, Srinivas, Vrindavan Das, Murari Chaitanya, Parameshwara and Miniketan Ramdas attended the first Khetri Sankirtan Mahotsava. This was the first Gaur Purnim festival. They celebrated Gauranga's appearance day with thunderous chanting, exuberant dancing, tasty prasadam. Six sets of Gaur Nathai deities were installed. These are the first Gaur Nathai deities, if I'm not mistaken. Sri Janava Mata cooked a matchless feast and personally served all the Vaishnavs. During Narottam's Premanam Kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all their associates suddenly appeared to the delight of all. So this is a miracle, you know. And everybody saw them. This is a wonderful pastime. Ma Janava, an affectionate name given by the devotees, traveled throughout Gaur and Braja mandalas. Wherever she went, the Gaur bhaktas happily greeted and served her. Known as Nityananda Sarupini, Janava Devi overflowed with prema bhakti. She delivered many atheists and sinners by her compassionate preaching. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda offers this prayer to Janava Mata in his Kalyana Kalpataru songbook. O Janava Devi, by the power of your divine qualities, be merciful to this servant of yours. Dispel this illusion which torments me and relieve me of material existence. Let me take shelter at your lotus feet. You are Nityananda Shakti, the divine energy of Lord Nityananda himself. You are the guru of Krishna Bhakti. Be merciful to me and grant me the shade of your lotus feet, which are like a desire tree. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please deliver me in the same way. Today, praying for your mercy, this lowly sinner falls at your holy feet. It is said that Janava Devi left this world by entering the deity of Gopinath in Vrindavan. In Brajadam, she serves Krishna as Ananga Manjari. Now, can you do it, Prabhu? 5 minutes to tell us the story. Okay, but really we don't have much time.
Yeah. Well, I won't talk about Sita Devi because I really need half an hour. I don't think it's in okay. It's justice for. Okay. But Gopinath, how we can relate in our own life, Ananga Manjari, until she comes, all the Goswamis that they established the temple, there was no Radharani deity. Mm-hmm. It is her who established those Radharani's deities.
Ananga Manjari?
Rupa Goswami established Govindaji, but no Radharani.
Right.
So Gopinath also established by Madhupandit.
Right.
But no Radharani. It is her, through the king of Orissa, and then the whole pastimes, beautiful, how she established one by one when she went to
Vrindavan. Janava Devi. Yeah.
So we are indebted to her, that without Swarup Shakti, Prabhupada said, Krishna's beauty is not really beautiful.
Yeah.
It is Radharani's presence makes Krishna's complete beauty. So without Radha, Krishna was there, Govindaji and Gopinath and Madan Mohan. So we have a really speciality.
Yes, thank you for that information. I didn't know that.
Also, Madhupandit, this is the beauty of our chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That Madhupandit, actually he was chanting when Gadadhar Prabhu said you should meditate this Leela. And then he was chanting under this tree in Bansibad, where Krishna and Balaram, two groups, and they're having big wrestling match. And they're feeling such an ecstasy in their childhood pastimes that at one point, he is a Satchidananda body. So he doesn't need, and Gadadhar Prabhu told this to Madhupandit, that he's Satchidananda body, Lord never gets tired. But seeing the boys enthusiastic to please him, Lord immediately by Jogamaya started sweating and claiming, oh, I'm tired, I need to rest. Then one group of boys put the beautiful, nice lips, soft lips like a bed. And then the other boys put him down and wiping his. And the other boys bringing the big lips, fanning him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone massaging. And then some boys are talking about the most fascinating what makes Krishna sleep, or resting, I should say. At that time, that when they talk about the pastimes, what he did.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you stole the butter and Mother Yashoda says, and you say you tricked them, and the Krishna loves it so much, and then he almost like a falling sleep. Madhupandit is chanting and seeing this.
Nityananda.
No, Madhupandit is seeing this.
Oh, he's seeing the pastime of Krishna.
The Krishna Balaram. Okay. All of a sudden, something happened, that everything disappeared. There was only deity left. Uh-huh. That was the Gopinath deity.
Oh, I see.
And the Gopinath deity, there's one pastime at the end, it says that Priyananda Sakha, they generally don't wrestle so much, they are like a matchmaker or how do you say, media between the gopis.
Right.
So they were talking about this, how Radharani loves him and he loves her. This pastime Krishna really made so happy. Even Gadadhar Prabhu was narrating this to his disciple, Madhupandit, and he was seeing this, that's how the Gopinath deity manifested.
Wow, thank you for that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.